From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a focused look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today on Deadline is scrolling to find out how threatening TikTok really is to national security and if efforts to ban the platform could swing the election for several candidates. Here's what's trending. Last week, TikTok was thrown into a whirlwind after the House passed a bipartisan measure to force its Chinese-owned parent company, ByteDance, to sell the platform or see it banned in the U.S. The measure was passed by a vote of 352-60, with 50 Democrats and 15 Republicans voting no. Now the bill will head to the Senate, where it could pass with the same bipartisan support. However, some senators aren't so certain that the bill will make it through. President Biden shared earlier this month that if Congress passed the bill, he would sign it, even though he himself has recently joined the platform. And his GOP challenger, former President Donald Trump, initially supported a TikTok ban, but recently came out against it. Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley, who has long been a critic of TikTok, shared with Odyssey last week he doesn't think Biden will sign the measure into law. "Biden has had years now to act," Hawley said. "He hasn't done it. In fact, Biden is on TikTok, and the reason is the Democrats secretly love it. They think their voters are on TikTok." However, despite Hawley's feelings, he's an ardent supporter of Trump, who has recently spoken in support of TikTok, urging his fellow Republicans to reconsider their stance. Trump says that if TikTok disappears, it will double Facebook's business. He's publicly beefed with Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook's parent company, Meta, and he's called Facebook the true enemy of the people. So what's behind the claims that TikTok has to go because it's a national security threat? Jenna Leventhoff, a senior policy counsel at the ACLU, joined Odyssey to discuss.
So there are really two different issues, it seems to me, here. The first issue is there any evidence that TikTok represents a threat to the American population or to U.S. national security, as some in Congress are claiming? And then the second part of that equation is, whether one thinks so or not, is the method that the House has approved to deal with it, forcing a sale to American companies or banning it outright from U.S. phones, the proper way to go. So let's take the first part first. Is there any evidence that it does present TikTok a threat to the American population or national security?
We don't have public evidence of a threat, but like you said, the key is really in that second part. So even if we did have public evidence, in order to ban an app, the government needs to show that there's an immediate and serious threat and that there's nothing else that they can do to mitigate that threat that wouldn't block speech like this does. And so that's where the government is really failing here. It's really unclear that banning TikTok is effective for, you know, protecting our data, because China can get our data in so many other ways.
So what would, in your view, or in the view perhaps of the ACLU, what would be a more effective way of dealing with this if one accepts the premise, which again, we don't know if it's true or not, that TikTok is a threat?
I think the most effective thing that the government can do is pass comprehensive privacy legislation. Every social media company collects data, and the best way to stop data abuse is to limit what's collected in the first place to only extremely necessary data.
The point you're making that Facebook and Instagram and X, as it's now, as Twitter is now known, they all do pretty much the same stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. They all collect data about us.
Is there a real difference, though, on who it is who collects the data? I mean, can one make and should one make a distinction between a corporate entity, a U.S. company, collecting data and the possibility, because it's only a possibility, as I understand it, that TikTok, which is owned by a Chinese company, that company in turn could hand it over to a government that at the moment in time is not exactly viewed as friendly to the U.S.?
I think the tricky part here is that most of these companies aren't, you know, keeping the data to themselves. In many cases, that data is getting sold to a data broker who could then sell it on to China. So in either case, China can buy this information. It just sort of depends on if they're buying it or getting it for free.
A Pew Research Center survey from December showed that support for a TikTok ban was declining among adults, sitting at just 38% after being at 50% last March. Despite Congress not moving to ban TikTok until recently, several governmental organizations have already taken action. This includes the United States military, which banned the social media platform in January 2020. Several communities have banned the use of TikTok on government phones. But if the military banned it 4 years ago, why has legislation for the public taken so much longer? To share more, cybersecurity expert Ron Layton joined Odyssey.
As you said, that horse has left the barn, has it not, sir?
Well, it has. And what's interesting about TikTok is that I think a lot of the trouble that we're talking about now, particularly recently with the action in Congress, a lot of this, in my opinion, started with the military back in 2020, because the Army and the Navy banned TikTok 4 years ago. And, you know, people will say, is this a threat? Well, it's certainly a threat if you are, you know, in the United States military, particularly when you think about things that armies do, psychological operations, those types of things. I would also tell you that a young person who is bombarded with click through to a congressperson, that's kind of a form of psychological operations. But if you are in the military and you're forward deployed wherever, one of the things TikTok does, you can be geolocated. And so quite a few soldiers, you know, you're giving up your position. And to the adversary, that is a really, really big deal.
Wow.
And so here's the other thing, too. There's something called operational security, OPSEC. Everybody in the military and in intelligence knows about this. OPSEC is just an acronym that stands for operational security. But what it really means is that you're keeping your adversary from discovering information about you. And that's exactly what TikTok violates. That's why the Army banned it and the Navy banned it. And the truth is, there are a good number of Russian soldiers who were taken off the battlefield, meaning killed, because of TikTok. They got geolocated, basically on information that we would have provided to the Ukrainians, and they were decimated because of TikTok. The other thing, too, that's interesting is that, well, let's back up a few years, where a lot of people did not believe that Russia was going to invade Ukraine. One of the reasons that our intelligence assessment was so good was because there were Russian soldiers who filmed their movements into Ukraine on TikTok.
So what do you do, man?
I tell you what. First of all, so here's the thing. As Americans, we live in a microwave culture. We want everything tomorrow, okay? So for what the Chinese are doing, they are very, very good in terms of their intelligence services. They play the long game. We play the short game. So we kind of fall into the hands of exactly what they want. So I when you say, what do? I think the first step, you've got to be aware of what you're doing when you are engaging in any kind of activity, particularly on social media. It's the ultimate double-edged sword. Something in a statistic that I want to bring to your attention that is also troubling. In 2019, the average user time, eyeballs on TikTok per user, was about 27 minutes. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't have 27 minutes during the day to do any one thing because I'm busy, just like every other adult.
Right.
You know what it is in 2024?
No.
58 minutes.
Whoa.
So when you talk about psychological operations, and all of a sudden, you know, that Vince's screen is going to a congressperson, I mean, I've got you captured. It's almost a captivating experience. It's bad. Now, here's the other thing, too, that no one has talked about that we should also think about. Think about the influence of AI and to be able to generate things that I know your brain wants to see. 58 minutes is going to go to 98 minutes. And now I've got you. I got you already. So that horse is out of the barn, guys.
With the country becoming more and more polarized politically, the potential ban of TikTok could play a major role in the upcoming election, especially for candidates looking to connect with younger generations. Political analyst Steve Roberts joined Odyssey to share what the fallout of the TikTok bill could be for those seeking another term this November.
Steve, over the past week, TikTok has become this major issue with Congress passing that, or the House, I should say, passing the bill. We've got the Senate. Who knows if they'll take it up? The president seems ready to sign it if they do, vote to pass it. And kind of lost in all this as it becomes more and more of an issue on the campaign trail is, well, what do the people think? Do we know what the people think, what people who will be going to the polls in November think about TikTok?
We do know that it's an increasingly popular app. About one-third of Americans now say they use TikTok, and that's up significantly over the last year or two. But it's even higher use among young people. And so you have this tension, because on Capitol Hill, you have this bill that is passed with bipartisan majorities, which says two things: that the Chinese company that owns TikTok would have to sell it. And if they don't sell it, then the app could be banned. And this reflects a lot of anti-Chinese sentiment in America today. There's a Gallup poll out just this morning where Americans say that China is by far the biggest enemy of this country, way ahead of Russia. There are concerns about security breaches, that somehow China could use this app to harvest sensitive information about Americans. And it could be used the other way to send disinformation and meddle in the election. There's also a moral question here. One congressman called TikTok digital fentanyl that was addicting America's youth. And Joe Biden has said he would sign a bill if it came to his desk. At the same time, he's using TikTok. Now, he can't use it as an official White House device because it's banned by law from government devices. So his campaign has a TikTok account, and he's using it every day to spread videos, particularly aimed at young people, relatable, more informal videos. And he's inviting influencers, TikTok influencers, to the White House, knowing that these influencers, some of whom have hundreds of thousands of followers, are increasingly important in the way voters, and particularly young people, get information about politics. So the irony here is Biden says, I'll sign the bill banning TikTok, but at the same time, I understand that young people are on it every day, and I'm going to use it every day as a vital part of my campaign messaging process.
This is a huge voting block of people that use it. What do you see the Senate doing?
Well, it's a good question. I think there's kind of a backlash growing against this bill, partly because TikTok users are upset about it. And it's not just users. There's a huge commercial market based on TikTok, you know, of influencers selling products and endorsing products. But also Donald Trump has come out against the bill for odd reasons. One is that he hates Facebook. I mean, he hates Facebook. He's obsessed with Mark Zuckerberg. And he worries that if TikTok is somehow diminished, Facebook would be strengthened. In fact, he worries that Facebook might even buy TikTok. But there's another factor here. Donald Trump really needs money. He needs money very badly. And one of his major campaign contributors owns a big stake in TikTok. Everybody thinks of TikTok as a Chinese company, and it is. But American investors own big pieces of TikTok, including a man named Jeff Yass, who is one of Trump's biggest financial supporters. And Yass has gone to Trump and said, hey, look, if you want me to continue to contribute to your campaign and contribute to paying your legal fees, you got to oppose this bill. So oddly enough, Trump has come out against the bill. So there are a lot of cross pressures here. But the bottom line is that we're seeing a very interesting evolution in the whole media ecosystem and how people, particularly younger people, get information about politics. It's far more fragmented than it's ever been. And, you know, Donald Trump became a master at using Twitter to interject his views when he was president into the media mainstream. And now Joe Biden is trying to use TikTok as the next generation of digital tools. That's part of the debate here and part of the sensitivity, because Biden needs to find a way to appeal to young voters who are increasingly unhappy with him. And he thinks that TikTok is one of the keys to rallying that voter group.
So here's what's next. If the bill is introduced in the Senate, passed, and sent to Biden's desk where it's signed into law, the clock begins to tick. Tock. ByteDance will have 6 months to sell the platform. Otherwise, it will be banned from U.S. app stores and web hosting services. They've argued it would be impossible to find a buyer with pockets deep enough for the purchase price, plus handle the logistics of a sale in 6 months. A dark horse option emerged when former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said Thursday that he was putting together a consortium to buy TikTok. But some don't think that ByteDance will sell one of the now top social platforms simply from pressure in the U.S., especially when the app has a massive global presence. Still, the U.S. does contribute the most users on the platform at around 136 million. That's according to data tracker Exploding Topics. The next closest audience is in Indonesia at 99 million. So, will bipartisan support for a ban fall apart at the finish line? If it passes, would the owners sell it for the sake of keeping those American users? Is TikTok too big to fail? Stay tuned to On Deadline for the information you need to know. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and Myron Kaplan. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.